A true story. A minister was working in a camp meeting, and people were coming to pray with some of the ministers at this camp meeting. And a particular woman came to him and said, "I'm having serious struggles in my marriage. My husband and I, we are just having serious struggles to the point where I don't think we can even make it anymore." And he said, "Are you willing to try anything to save your marriage? Are you willing to try something?" And she basically wasn't sure. "I don't know if I'm willing to at this point," she said. "We've been through so much." And he read to her a quotation from a book called The Desire of Ages. It's a book that is a beautiful picture of the life of Christ. He shared with her a quotation, and I'm paraphrasing it here, but it basically said that while Jesus was here on earth, he accepted everything that happened to him in life as if the fact that God had allowed it to happen. Now, God doesn't make all the evil things that happen to us happen. I want to make sure that we understand that. Somebody abuses somebody, God did not make that happen. Not at all. There is a devil and there's human evil. Humans do terrible things, and the devil inspires us to do evil things. The Bible says that our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know? Our hearts are deceitful even if the devil doesn't tempt us. We're so wicked as a race, we can come up with wickedness on our own, in our own wicked hearts. But there is a devil too, so he tries to coax it on. But nevertheless, Jesus accepted every trial, every tribulation, every temptation as the fact that God had allowed it to come his way. And if God allowed it, he was going to get him through it. And he said to this woman, this minister said to the woman who's struggling in her marriage, "If either of you or your husband, is willing to accept every trial that comes your way in your marriage, that God allowed it to happen, and you're going to trust him, and you're not going to fight back. If either one of you can say, when the trials come, I just accept it, and I won't fight back, and you will love the other person, God can save your marriage." Well, he didn't hear for some time from this woman, but she decided right there and then, "I'm going to accept it. I'm going to accept this challenge as it is from God. I want to experience the life of Jesus. And so if my husband is rude, if he speaks to me negatively, I will not fight back. I will be kind to him and love him." She got home and her husband was insulting, and she didn't fight back. And he became more insulting. And she said, over time, over the course of months, it became like she was living with the devil himself. He was so rude to her that the words that he would say were just absolutely atrocious. But she never responded back with anger, never with insults, nothing demeaning or degrading, none of that. She just prayed. She accepted somehow that this was as if coming from the hand of God. She pressed forward, and after a few months, you know what happened? He began to change. He began slowly to become more patient and more kind. He began to show her kindness that he hadn't shown for years, maybe since they had been dating. And their marriage began to get better and better, and they were now having the greatest marriage they had had in their entire life. And then she became pregnant. They had their first child. Things were going so well. It was amazing. God had intervened in their lives. God was changing them. And after a time, they left their baby with grandmother to take care of her for some time. And they went out on a date. And while they were out on that date, the baby, who is home with grandmother, grandmother had her pills sitting out beside the sofa. And the little baby crawled up to the side of the sofa and grabbed that container of pills and dumped the whole container down its mouth. And Grandma saw it happen. And she was so terrified, she just froze and did absolutely nothing until the baby turned blue. And when the husband and wife came home, Grandma was sitting there, frozen in the chair, with their little child, lifeless in her arms. They called the ambulance, but it was too late. It was too late. They lost their child. And then there began to be once again the blame game. I mean, friends, you can imagine how easy it would be to blame. What's wrong with your mother? I don't know what they said, but you can imagine the blame that would come out in a situation like this. The marriage began to stumble again. They began to struggle in their marriage, and things were going downhill rapidly. And then after weeks and weeks of this marriage spiraling out of control, and the blame and the guilt and the anger, one day, one of the church members, you see, the husband had already left church. He wasn't going to church anymore. His parents had been Adventists. They had turned away. So it was just the wife who was going to church. And here she is struggling again. And then one particular day, one of the church members came to visit with her to sympathize with her over the loss of her child. And as the church member began to sympathize with her, she said, that is the mother of this lost child, she said, "I appreciate you wanting to give me sympathy, but I realize I don't need your sympathy right now. What I need is a prayer." And she began to say, "I had accepted every trial in my life. I had given my life to Jesus, and I decided any trial that came to me that I would accept as if God allowed it into my life. And so I would not become despondent. I wouldn't give up. I wouldn't argue. I wouldn't fight back. I would just accept it, and I would cling to my Savior. But I haven't been doing that. This was so terrible what's happened. I stopped trusting in God. I stopped giving it to him, and I started saying, all this, how can I accept that God allowed this to happen?" And she said, "Can you pray with me that God will help me to accept this, and that even through this, God can somehow work things together for good, even through this difficult situation?" And then they knelt down and prayed. She then once again began to show kindness to her husband, love, patience. And as time progressed, she saw how he saw how changed she was. And his life began to be changed again. And finally, he said to her, I want whatever you have." And he gave his life back to Jesus and began to come back to church. And over time, the mother-in-law, the one who had watched this child die, she saw the love and compassion. She saw the forgiveness, saw the kindness that she was showing to her. And you know what? Her and her husband finally came to the woman and they said, "We see something different in you. We know there's something different about you, and we want whatever you have." And they ended up giving their lives back to Jesus Christ. My friends, think about this. In the resurrection, this woman will not only have an angel bring the baby back into her arms, not only will she have a child that she can raise in the earth made new, a child that will never fall away, she will have a husband whom she wouldn't have had in the kingdom, and she will have a mother and father-in-law also in the kingdom who had walked away from Jesus. As I said at the beginning, my wife and I are experiencing our own severe family trial. But I'm reminded, friends, that there will always be trials in our lives. The Servant of the Lord in Help in Daily Living, page 9, says, "Trials and obstacles are the Lord's chosen methods of discipline and his appointed conditions of success." But friends, if we yield our lives into the hands of Jesus Christ, and if we accept the trials that we have gone through, as if Jesus allowed them, not because he wanted our pain, not because he wanted our suffering, but because he could turn that suffering on its head, and he could make you more than a conqueror through him who loves us. Friends, this evening I remind you that Jesus loves you. Desire of Ages, page 126, when God brings us into trial, he has a purpose to accomplish for our good. Desire of Ages, page 483, through all our trials, we have a never-failing helper. He does not leave us alone to struggle with temptation, to battle with evil, and be finally crushed with burdens and sorrow. Though now he is hidden from mortal sight, the ear of faith can hear his voice saying, "Fear not, I am with you. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Revelation 1:18. And so, will you allow him to cover you with his robe of righteousness? And will you yield yourself and all your sins to him, repenting, confessing, forsaking, and going forth hand in hand with Jesus? He can save you. He can save your friendships. He can save your broken relationships with family members, and he can save your marriage. And even if your marriage or any of your other interpersonal relationships isn't broken, then he can simply make them better than they ever have been. But friends, the one relationship, the one marriage that we want to remain steadfast and sure is that of our marriage to the Lamb. And so I challenge you, commit and recommit your life wholly to Jesus, because you are only complete when you are complete in him. Amen.
Almighty God, the great I am, immovable rock, omnipotent, powerful, awesome Lord, victorious warrior, commanding King of Kings, mighty conqueror, and the only time, the only time I ever saw him run was when he ran to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son's come home again," lifted my face, wipe the tears from my eyes with forgiveness in his voice. He said, "Son, do you know I still love you?" He caught me by surprise when God ran. The day I left home, I knew I'd broken his heart. Wonder then if things could ever be the same. Then one night I remembered his love for me, and down a dusty road ahead I could see it was the only time. It was the only time I ever saw him run. Held my head to his chest, said, "My son's come home again," lifting my face, wiped the tears from my eyes with forgiveness in his voice. He said, "Son, do you know I still love you?" I was so ashamed, all alone and so far away. Took me in his arms. held my head to his test and set my sight.